woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Where's the money, Lebowski? Where's the f***ing money, head?
It's down there somewhere. Let me take another look.
I found my mind in a brown paper bag, but then...
106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
I tripped on a cloud and fell 8 miles high. I tore my mind on a jagged sky.
Okay, you know, you guys aren't privy to all the new so, you know... That's what you pay me for.
I just dropped in to see what condition my condition was in.
Illinois Nazis. I hate Illinois Nazis.
Yeah, let's cut to the chase, okay? What are you guys selling?
I lost you $60,000. There is no one who wants to make that money back for you more than I do.
There's just one thing, dude.
What's that?
You have to use so many cuss words.
What the f*** you talking about?
Don't worry, nobody's listening anyway.
I woke up this morning with the sundown shining in.
Hello, North Bay Stacks and Jacks. I'm Tom House. He's Jay-Z on the board. Mr. Kevin O'Neill with us as well. S&P futures down 4, NASDAQ futures down 11 and a quarter. This is a little less than we were up yesterday. Kind of the head of the Fed announcement today, two-day meeting and Fed news conferences. Jay Powell's kind of in a spot where most rational people think he shouldn't cut at all. However, other people think he should cut like a real lot, so I don't think he's going to be able to please anybody. That's a great thing. It's like having like four daughters or something and in one dress. What do you think, Kevin? Just saying.
Say that again.
It's like having four daughters in one new dress. It's like you can't really please anybody all the time. You can't please everybody all the time, as they say.
Well, it depends on the age, because if they're four grown daughters, we probably can't please them. But if they're four young daughters, they'll all be different sizes, so you can please them.
There you go. There you go. So, but then they'll say, how come she got something I didn't? Just saying.
Well, like I said, you'll please somebody.
Yeah, at least you please somebody.
Just one, but that's okay. call that a win.
We also have, we might save this for the second hour. Russell will be here, and he's a professor, not that Kevin isn't, but this might be more in Russell's wheelhouse. We're going to talk about the repo and the refunding problems the Fed has had the last couple days.
Yes, definitely save that for the second hour.
That's what I kind of thought you would have mentioned, but let's just say, Kevin, some of the stuff that I try and bring to the listeners. I surely don't expect everybody to pay attention to all of it because I'm not so sure I do. But the point being is that it really all does string together. And when you hear these seemingly disparate, how's that for a word this hour in the morning? Disparate facts.
Send you a quarter for that.
They tend to go together. And if you sort of remember one from the next to the next day or even the next week, which is hard to do, they try to pile up. I mean, I think most people last week, I gave it kind of a quick shift, is that the budget deficit for the year, okay, I'm going to look at the U.S. Treasury page right here. It's labeled Monthly Treasury Statement. Receipts and Outlays of the United States Government. That would be our guys.
Sounds like a sources and uses statement.
Yeah. And let's see where we are, since I just went moved a page to get the title. Here we are. I went past it. But the bottom line is last month we were $200 billion in hack and managed to go over $1 trillion for the year. Now, that's the month of August. The month of August is usually a bad one. But then September, your corporate group pays their income taxes, so you bounce back the other way. But for the moment, we are... $1 trillion in the hole. So that's not a good thing. And so there was the Treasury, and we often mention what if, and I don't think it's happened yet, you know, what if the Chinese don't ever show up for, you know, their refundings and all that crap. But they, you know, they, so far, they've cut back, but they have not shown. Well, now, last week, if you, I'll get this other article up that I found from, like, usbanking.com or whatever. Last week, just seemingly out of the blue, here we go. It is Table 1, Summary of Receipts, Outlays, and Deficit Surplus of the U.S. Government, Fiscal Years 2018 and 2019 by month. So we are now up to, as of last month, $200 billion in the hole, $1.067 trillion in the hole. Now, last year, the September came in at a 120 surplus because that's when the corporations make their tax payments. So we might get some of that back, and who knows, might nudge under the trillion number by just a hair. So in last year, we were 776. So, but at best case, we're $200 billion worse this year than we were last year in terms of deficit spending. Yet, you'll hear a little sip of coffee. You'll hear on an hourly basis, and on TV, radio, and whatever you want to read in the financial world, the BS that somehow or another the federal government isn't doing anything to help out our poor Federal Reserve and expansionist policy. Kevin, you think a trillion a year is good enough? Just saying.
It's a close call.
Yeah, it's a close call.
You know, it might be coming up short. Maybe that's the problem, is we're really supposed to be at
like 5 trillion.
1.6 or 1.5.
5 or 6 or 8 or something. And guess what I heard on the way in this morning? Just as I was picking up young Jay-Z before she plopped in the car, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed this morning, I might add, somebody on News Radio 78, because I always give them kudos when they do something good, and this one, they had some lady on there talking about what happens when the Fed lowers interest rates and how savers get hurt, but borrowers, people on credit cards, do better because the rates go down. How could she read that, Kevin, without saying, what is this thing you gave me to read? Is there any evidence ever that a credit card rate does nothing but go up? It's never once gone down in one of these Fed moves. Mortgage rates, maybe. But even mortgage rates come off the 10-year. I'm going to say the 10-year is up in the last 2 weeks. So if anything, the 10-year is probably up in the last. It's not going to go down at all on this because the 10-year is going up. So how do you even read that, much less write it?
Because somebody fed the line.
Well, I understand. It's not her fault.
We've talked about this before. This is the lack of expertise that so many that we produce now out of the journalism schools, where they know the journalism techniques, but they don't know the subject matter. So we don't. You know, we're lacking for subject matter experts in reporting. There just aren't enough of them. And at the same time, so they don't know how to ask questions. You know, they just know how to report. And at the same time, it's that constant battle for access, too, so that when people want, people are trying to do reporting, they want access to the experts, and you only get the access if you do their bidding, basically.
Well, another thing that has happened is we have mentioned on a few occasions, is the idea about the I'm trying to find a thing I sent yesterday to my my brother early in the day regarding we have the Treasury went out last month probably because of this. I think again I think all the stuff that hang together sort of become of this the episode where last month, the Treasury refunding. Now, granted, they had this $200 billion shortfall. The Treasury refunding was set. They went out to borrow $78 billion. Okay, but the redemptions were only 20. So there's a $58 billion hole. So what happens here? Now, what we're talking about is there's not enough money in the system. So the interest rate spiked overnight to 4%. Why would they do that? Because no bank has enough reserves to lend to another bank. All right, so now you say, how can that happen in a situation where the Fed is putting out all this money? Well, if they don't put it out in advance, they could screw it up. So the Fed actually went out and borrowed, the Treasury went out and borrowed $78 billion last month or last couple of weeks, and the only people that rolled it over were $20 billion. So that leaves them $58 billion in the hole. Now, where do you have to actually get that? You got to get that from new borrowers. Okay, and the banks didn't have enough money for new borrowers to write the checks for $58 billion. So there was a scramble overnight to meet banks' reserve requirements. At the same time, the corporations are writing their checks for their taxes. So it's kind of a bleep up on the part of the Fed to not have anticipated that and put money in the system. But they didn't, and they suddenly had a panic and buy these repos the night before. Buying a repo is essentially buying a note from Kevin tonight to put money in the system with the idea of the repo, meaning that Kevin, it flips back to Kevin in like 2 or 3 weeks. So it's a, it's, that's hence the name repo. It's like repoing somebody's car. They get to repo the note from you in however long time it is. So it's somewhat of a complicated transaction, but the bottom line is we had a huge deficit. We went out to raise money, and this is what would, quote, happen if you went out, say, on a 10-year note, or maybe not a 10-year, but a 1-year note. You went out to finance, to say you wanted $50 billion. Well, a lot of the time, 40 of the building rolls right over from the last, right, Kevin? Because one's rolling off as one's rolling on. And people just say, well, just leave me right there. Well, what would happen if the Chinese or anybody, or even you and I, if somebody, like, suppose you had been rolling a, suppose you came to PTI and you said, I want to buy, $100,000 worth of T-bills because I want to get a higher rate for than RBC's paying or IB's paying. We were getting people for 6 months, like 2.4 as little as 3 months ago, but now that went down to 1.5, and now it's back up to around 2. But say we went out for 2 months and got 2, which is what it is. So if we went out and got 2% for 100,000 of Kevin O'Neill or Jay-Z's money, and then 2 months from now, you may say, roll it again, give me another 2 months. If you don't, you actually take the check, right, Kevin?
Okay.
So
keep going.
So if the Chinese or anybody doesn't show up, they just be a bigger Kevin O'Neill. They're going to say, no, I'm not rolling over my six month paper, my $30 billion I've got sitting there in the U.S. I actually want the check. Well, obviously now that $30 billion has to come from somebody else, correct? So it has to come out of other people's
bank. Someplace to cut it, yeah.
Yeah. So you actually cause a...
Sound like a pyramid scheme to me.
Well, you cause a ripple in the system. Yeah, pretty much. But, I mean, if somebody explains it to you and puts it on a blackboard, this money comes from here, this comes from there, it's not all that difficult to understand. The part I want to ask... I was asking my Fed guys last night by email. The part I want to ask Russell is, I don't understand why the corporation sending a check would cause a problem, because it should go from the corporation out of their bank account into the bank account of the Treasury, so it should be a net wash in the system, shouldn't it?
One would think.
Yeah, so I don't know. I have to ask Russell or my buddies at the Fed why that would be a problem, unless there's a timing issue on a matter of overnight. It takes a night to clear, which could be something that technical. But I will find that answer for the actually multitude of writers that sent in messages yesterday saying, hey, what the bleep, Chief? What is this all about? So, I don't know. Did that make it worse or better, Kevin?
Oh, much worse.
I can imagine. Yeah. Just saying.
Hey, a different question. I'm surprised we've gone a couple days without discussing the attempted hit on Kavanaugh over the weekend.
Kevin, when people are bombing, oil things, and oil's running $5 and $6. Sometimes you could be murdered and you're on the third page, even though we all love you.
No, I'll be front page news when I get murdered.
Depends on who kills you.
And I will get murdered. That's how I will go.
Well, it depends on who kills you. If it's somebody famous, yeah. If not, you're just fourth page. Depends on the day. That's why if you want something on the back front page, you want to come out on Friday. You know, who reads Friday's paper? Or Saturday mornings, I mean.
Hardly anybody, except for the sports pages. Got to check the sports pages, get those bets down.
Which, by the way, are the Cubs toast?
What, for losing last night? No, they're not toast, but I'm not optimistic. I don't, I've said this before. I said this last week. I don't really see a playoff team there.
Are you?
They've been hot lately, so we'll see.
What happened to the starting pitching? Y'all got old together or what?
It may be a bad trip through the rotation, and it may be that they're running out of gas. I don't know. It's not like they've all thrown so damn many innings that they can't function.
The only guy doing any good was Hendricks, and he was the guy who was on the DL for 2 weeks.
Well, he's been on the DL, as has Hamels. Did Lester miss
anything?
No,
I don't think
so.
I can't
remember.
He might have, but I don't think so. Not recently.
Yeah. But they've had, I don't think Quintana's missed any starts.
No. He's got pretty much a rubber arm, but lately he's not been so hot. I think he needs another pitch. Just saying.
Maybe. But, we'll see what happens. Milwaukee picked up a game on them, but St. Louis lost last night, so they're only two games out.
Well, you know what they're zeroing in on? They're zeroing in on all three of them having the same record.
It could be. Won't that be fun? The other thing about it is that the Cubs and the Cardinals play each other seven times yet.
So if they split and the Brewers keep winning, could be Brewers.
It could be anybody out of that, yeah.
All right, so what happens if all three of them get the same record?
Then they have some kind of formula for playing it off to find out who the division champion is, and then when all is said and done, then they have to decide who's in the wild card, if anybody, and it probably will take them several days to sort it all out on the field.
Well, it would make it more difficult if Washington was still in the mix. If they fall out and all three of them are going to be in the playoffs, then I don't even know if they do any playing off, Kevin. Maybe they do.
Yeah, they will. You bet they will, because somebody's got to play that one-and-done game.
So how would that even go? There's
well,
3-10.
They did it last year with the Cubs and the Brewers. They played off for the division championship.
Okay.
And then the loser, the Cubs, had to go play the one game.
Right, but they did, but there was no... This one, if three teams are possible for division thing, then what? You play both of the other teams and see who gets the wins the round robin.
Yeah, I don't know what the rule is for it. I don't know how they will decide that. There may be some kind of formula that includes how they've done against each how each has done against the other two.
I will bet that if all three are in and Washington's out, there's some sort of a tiebreaker where they'll pick the division champion. The other two have to play off.
I don't think so. I don't think they're going to change it just because they have more than one tied up. But we can find out. We can get the real answer.
Yeah, we'll find. We'll figure. We'll make that. Matty Weber give us that on Friday. That's his job as our sports guy, right?
It is his job. Darn it.
Yeah. All right. So what? What is the? I sort of lost the thing with Kavanaugh. I mean, you some other thing from 50 years ago.
The Times has these two reporters who. Who wrote a book about the hearing. So Molly Hemingway of The Federalist, and she had a co-writer, have had one out for about a month now. The Times, a couple of their reporters did. And included in their book is a story about that Kavanaugh effectively, at some kind of party as a freshman at Yale,
as a freshman.
And they had this by reported by somebody who heard it from somebody else that a woman student that he kind of whipped it out and put it in her hand. Now, it's denied. The alleged victim says, "Don't remember anything about that, anything like that." So she's even on board. But they left all that out. They left out the exculpatory part and just reported it. And then to make it worse, they actually had a tweet that said, and here, let me pull this up. They had a tweet, and the tweet said, come on, Kevin, where'd you put it? They promoted the column saying, "Having a penis thrust in your face at a drunken dorm party may seem like harmless fun, but when Brett Kavanaugh did it to her, Deborah Ramirez says it confirmed that she didn't belong at Yale in the first place." And she didn't say that, and there's no such thing. And so they had to pull that down. They had to change their story, and they had to retract it. But the hit had been done. Now, that was... expected. Then CNN managed to follow up with a story about, and of course, all the, you know, or not all of them, but many of the Democratic presidential candidates immediately called for his impeachment before the retraction. And then the next day, CNN runs a story called "How to Impeach a Supreme Court Justice." And I think the New York Post
inquiring minds want to know.
The media has officially lost its damn mind.
Well, inquiring minds want to know.
Well, you know, it's funny because this keeps repeating, and it keeps repeating for the same side. As an example, last week the North Carolina legislature had a vote to override the governor's veto of the budget. Now, the Republicans, definitely in a shady mood or move, wait until the Democrats weren't there. They were conducting some kind of meetings of their own, and so while the legislature was in session. So while they weren't there, they seized the moment because they couldn't have overridden the veto with the Democrats there, but they had plenty of majority without them there. But the Washington Post wrote a story about it and said, while the Democrats were at 9/11 memorials, those the Republicans to seize the moment to override their veto. Well, no, that's not where they were. There was one Democrat legislator at a 9/11 memorial. Nobody else was. I don't know where they got that. They either made it up or they reported, or they someone told them a lie and they didn't check it out. But they, and then when it came time to retract that, they changed it to, while they didn't retract, they just said, while many Americans were at 9/11 memorials, the Republicans overrode a veto, as if that's somehow different
or
similar.
I actually got an email from, I had no idea, I think it was kind of an anonymous one, but evidently some lady in Ohio listens to the show. And she sent me an email and said, "Chief, I never thought you'd get me believing it, but it's obvious to me that all this stuff we're seeing is a diversion to detract people from the fact that 100 people are stealing the whole place."
And could be.
I mean, this is insane stuff.
That's not where I see this. I think this is just that. Any guys that media is in any way reporting for on behalf of us, rather than carrying out on both sides, rather than carrying out the carrying water for their side, their team, whether it's the D team or the R team, that they're doing it. And
well, the only thing I'll have to push back on that is I agree with. I don't really watch that stuff, Kevin, so I don't. I mean, I'm listening to all the financial news all day, so I don't. The last thing I do is throw CNBC or Fox on at night. I mean, there's no way I'm doing that. I'm watching the Cubs lose, so I don't know if that's better or worse. But the or win like they had the last week. But I'm getting. I don't know why I'm getting more sensitive. Maybe because the more research I do that people ask me to do, and try and find. I won't say the facts, just the facts, ma'am. Who was that? Just the facts, ma'am.
Oh, Joe Friday.
Joe Friday, yeah. Well, Jay-Z has no idea what we're talking about there, but Jay-Z, he was a sergeant on the L.A. police force, and when somebody started trying to tell him what happened to Stein, he'd go, "Just the facts, ma'am." not the other stuff.
And,
when I listen to people from, well, I can remember speeches of the people from Obama's administration. I mean, I'm stunned when I'm sitting here, I'm staring at the numbers. And I'll see the Kudlows of the world, and I don't listen to what's her name, the liar in the driveway, Kellyanne. Just sit there and tell me that I'm looking right at the numbers, and they're saying stuff different. I'm like, you're the idiots who put this out, and you're going to give me your. It's one thing to give me your spin on; it's quite another to like misquote them. I mean, when you're the senior economic advisor, I mean, this whole idea of telling people what you think they want to hear or what you think they should hear. This is endemic, Kevin. I don't know, how do we ever get back from this, where somebody actually feels obligated to tell the truth?
I don't know how we get back to it. I would love to see us get back to it because, I'd settle for just the facts reporting. Now, clearly, what they do and don't report still becomes an issue because that's another way you can bias. I'll give you an example of that. How much Omarosa criticism of Trump got covered?
Oh,
lot. Yeah.
Well, but sure.
But when General Mattis released a book that was highly critical of President Obama, how much of that got covered?
It's old news.
It's old news?
Yeah.
Why? He had never gone on the record before.
But, I mean, but I'm saying it's all nobody cares. It's like you know, I was ranting and raving, and you were critical of me. Not that we're arguing here.
He was also critical of Joe Biden. Does that matter now?
If I don't know. Is he going to get in there?
I actually don't think he will, but he's the front runner.
Well,
right
I'm,
now.
But I'm saying, other than me, who read bits and pieces of it, maybe you read more of it. Lou maybe read the whole damn thing. I don't know. When the British came out a few years ago with that absolutely scathing report about the second Iraq War and the behavior of their politicians and ours, and how there was zero plan for governing the place and just a huge plan over who was going to get the oil and who wasn't. I mean, those people were all, I won't say still in power, but they were all tangentially connected to Washington, still influencing decisions. I don't know that any of them even got called to the front of the class, much less got spanked. I mean, those people are still policymakers and all their ilk, the neocons and those people. I mean, you read that thing, Kevin, that was like an indictment that those people should have been in jail, if not executed. I mean, we're talking about how many people died over there, and all this, everything we were told was wrong. I mean, but as long as it's 5-6 years ago, nobody cares, Kevin. You know,
I hear what you're saying, but then
hold that thought, buddy. S&P futures down 375, NASDAQ futures down 975. Fed day today. We'll be right back. Stacks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howell, the Chief. Confused about investing these days? I suspect you are not alone. Investing was never easy, although at times it may have seemed so. I think one reason behind the current concern, although maybe not explained as such, is how the fluctuation in the American dollar and the associated politics is affecting your investments and your wealth. It may not be enough to make some money in your investments. You may need now to make enough to exceed the amount that your leadership is depreciating the value of the dollars you've worked your whole life to accumulate. That same leadership has seen fit to maneuver risk-free interest rates to near zero. Providing positive risk-averse returns in a zero-interest and declining real wealth environment is by far the toughest assignment I've ever had in my years as a money manager. I'm sure that a lot of you have heard that one way to possibly deal with this problem is to invest in so-called hard currencies like silver and gold, the idea being that they will retain their relative value in the face of devaluation of paper currencies like the dollar. To be honest, I have never been a gold bug. I've always had faith that having enough dollars and a good investment strategy was good enough. Now I'm not so sure. But I do know that if I did invest in gold or silver, I'd want to do it in the same manner as we do with PTI for investments in the market, with defined risk. If you feel the need to invest in gold or silver, we can do it using the same strategies that we use for our protected index program. No matter what you invest in, we feel that you need to know and control your risk. Find us at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here, right now.
Welcome back to Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allen. She's Jay-Z on the board. Mr. Kevin O'Neill here as well, as he is every Wednesday morning, talking about the ills of the world, and we seem like we never run out of stuff to talk about. S&P futures down 550, NASDAQ futures down on 1575. This is almost exactly where we did yesterday the other way, so we're pausing in front of the Fed meeting, shall we say. Dow futures down 38. Over in Europe, we've got slow but up here. DAX up 17.1%, FTSE up 13.2%, CAC up 9.2%. Over in Asia, a little bit to down. Nikkei down 40 points, 0.2%. Shanghai up 7.2. Hang Seng down 36.1. So I guess mixed over there. Bonds, 1.77. It's minus 0.04, 4 basis points. But again, up almost 30 from the low 2 weeks ago. The Bund, minus 0.5. Up from the low of minus 0.79. Japan, minus 0.17, which is actually back down a little bit. It's been minus 0.24 forever, and now it's come back toward even a little bit. Oil down another 50 cents, 58.83, so down probably a third of what it was up on Monday. Brent down 38 cents, 64.17, so that spread is now $5 and let's call that 34 cents. Natural gas, 2.67, up a penny. RBOB gas, 1.65, so that's down almost a dime from the high on Monday morning, so we shouldn't have too much of a shot at the pump, I don't think, if at all. There'll be a few cents. Silver down 23 cents, 17.91. Gold down 470, 15.08. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Good morning, everyone. The time is now 6:36. Chicago weather today is clear and sunny with a high of 78 and low of 64. Phoenix is also clear and sunny with a high of 103, low of 78. In baseball, the White Sox lost to the Twins 9-8. Cubs lost to the Reds 4-2, and the Diamondbacks lost to the Marlins 12-6. There is one accident to report on Fullerton going west between Southport and Clybourne. Expect light delays, but nothing else. Back to you.
Kevin, last night, there I was, minding my own business, as usual, doing some research. And on the TV, I was at a distance. I couldn't even remember. I don't know if it was History Channel or ESPN or one of the two. But I'm going to say it would be a must-watch. I mean, it looked like it was a couple hours long. A must-watch for you and me and the boys next time we get together. It had to do with, like, they interviewed Saban and all these other coaches, but they went all the way back to I've never seen this before. All the times I've watched, you know, these old reels on football and so forth. Went all the way back to the University of Chicago and talked about the Heisman Trophy winners, but it really went through all the way back to who was the coach? The Indian guy. Who the hell was the University of Chicago coach?
Amos Alonzo Stagg.
Yeah. He wasn't Indian, but he coached at the Indian Reservation where he first got his first team. God, who were those guys? Maybe where he first made a name for himself. It was a school on an Indian reservation. Anyway.
Carlisle? No, was Carlisle with Jim Thorpe?
Yeah, I think it was. Anyway, they talked about his innovation. It was some kind of a closed T formation, and then every coach they went up, they showed you the difference in the formation, and they ran a bunch of plays showing how the blocking assignments all changed because the people came from different directions. Then they had a single wing. Then they had the power eye. I did not realize that Mark Harmon ran the bone when he was at UCLA.
Oh, yeah, I remember him.
Well, they interviewed him. They interviewed him, and he was talking about how he ran the wishbone, and they showed him with a few of the plays, and they talk about your buddy, Dara. Who's that, Jay-Z? Dara?
I have no idea.
Kevin? Speak your best
like
Texas.
Bear Bryant.
No, Daryl Royal.
His name was never Daryl Royal.
Daryl Royal. Dara, if you're from Texas, right? I mean, Bryant was not Bryant. The Bear, can you beat the Bear? You gotta go with the accents, Kevin, a little bit. Just saying. Anyway, but I found it fascinating, and I'll bet we could sit down in front of this thing for 2 hours and just put a few beers in the middle and watch it mesmerize from end to end. I mean, all the different. It was the first time I'd ever seen, like, the T formation, the closed T, and when people ran around the end, who took who, and then the power eye was right after it. I mean, it's all somewhat getting people in the same place, getting more blockers than there are people. I mean, I know the principles, but pretty fascinating how they would go and do that. And all the differences in the sizes of the people as you went, and the outfits they were, well, the uniforms, outfits, from Amos Alonzo, Stag, University of Chicago days to, but I never, you know, they had pictures of Bud Wilkinson when he was young, and they had Saban when he was at Buffalo. I mean, I'd forgotten all that about all these people. They had the guy from Nebraska. But, I mean, it had to be like a two and a half hour show. Anyway, I thought it was fascinating, and you would have loved it. I don't know if any other listeners would have.
Well, probably it'll be broadcast again. I'll look for it.
Yeah, I mean, you have the capability of finding stuff like this. I don't. That's why I'm kind of lobbing this to you. See?
Well, I will definitely check it out.
All right.
I'm not a big ESPN fan. Outside of games, you know, watching the games, I pretty much am not.
Sometimes you see that on the History Channel.
The network.
And you see it on the NBC Sports, as they're trying to fill time now, too, on some of this stuff.
Well, they all have time to fill, yep.
Let me ask you a question.
They do some production stuff. NBC actually does any number of Notre Dame specials that should be are quite the advantage for that program.
I have a question for you. I don't know if I have the answer, which are the ones I best love giving you. Obviously, NFL Films, the family that started doing it pretty much on their own and kept this huge inventory of films, that the NFL essentially didn't they buy their whole inventory and so forth? Is there an official curator of college films, or do you just go from school to school, or is there a...
Yeah, I mean, there may be conference by conference. I don't know, but as far as in the schools, definitely have them. You know, I always thought that was when it was in South Bend. I always thought that was one of the big failings of the College Football Hall of Fame, and now it's gone to Atlanta, and I don't know that it's doing any better there. But one of the things that you have to do is you have to bring in stuff from the schools.
Yeah,
and you know, I always thought, you know, if you're really, because if it's a museum, you got to get people to come back. You know, you can't just put stuff in there and say, okay, here's our museum, check it out. Okay, I saw it once, I'm not coming back. So what you absolutely need to do is bring in, an old Big Eight exhibit. And maybe an SEC exhibit, and bring them in for 6 months at a time, or even a year at a time, and then give them all back to the schools that had them in the first place.
And my uncle, who is a combination, Kevin, I don't think you ever met him, unfortunately. He's this huge man. He looked like Luca Brasi. So, and plus, he had the most infectious personality. He was like a Ziggy Zerofsky kind of guy, just a big guy with a smile. And if he said one thing to you, you were immediately the guy's friend, kind of thing. Well, he goes to see the National Football Hall of Fame in Canton one day. He was there fixing a press somewhere in Dayton, and he came up through Canton. I don't know. But he goes, I go in there, and it was a blizzard. So like I'm like the only car in the lot, except for his other car. I walk in, it's the guy running the place. And he says to the guy, by the way, you got any Bear films? And he goes, well, we normally put like a collage of all the Bear films out there. Yeah, but you know, there's nobody else here. I'm kind of like a Bear fan. I goes, hey, have a seat, front row. I guess they got a little theater there and everything. So he watched Bear films for 6 hours before somebody else showed up. He was absolutely in heaven. This, you know, because he was a bit.
You know what?
Bear
I think that would be a lot of fun to go back and see. First of all, see some of the old stuff that we never really got to see. But I could sit and watch Gail Sayers and Walter Payton
for
2 hours and be really happy with it.
Well, I mean, I'd like to see, they had some of the red, I saw Red Grange on some of the stuff last night. And, you know, interesting stuff. But the, you know, wouldn't it be nice if we could actually, like, just watch sports for a weekend and not have, me having to read about, you know, people blasting a refinery and so forth. By the way, what makes everybody think that this is over, Kevin? Just out of curiosity, I talk about shifting gears, page two. Do you think they ran out of drones? And what makes them think that the minute they get fixed up, they're not going to get hit again or something?
Well, I suspect that you know, we like to consider the other side madmen, and in some cases maybe they are madmen, but they're pretty rational when it gets to it. And you know, so you know, do they really want to provoke a counterattack? And that gets to be the question. So can you get away with it a little bit? Yeah, and I could. You know, is Iran behind it or not? I don't know. You know, there's some evidence out there that says yes. There's some, you know, some people questioning the evidence. I haven't looked at it closely enough. It does make sense since they're producing about, selling about 20% of what they used to sell because of sanctions. So it would make sense for them to try and affect the oil prices and the oil supply. But you know, that would be a rational move. The irrational move would be to keep doing it until you get caught, you have the hard evidence, because then the bombs come. You know, the bombs follow.
Well, there's let's talk about it after the break, because if there is such a thing as morality in war, let's kind of go through it a little bit, because sometimes there is, sometimes there isn't. I guess S&P futures down 675, Nasdaq futures down 22. Be right back, Stacks and Jacks.
Hello, I'm David Andelman, founder and president of DAX Research, a registered commodity trading advisor. I'm also a wealth manager with PTI and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio show. For more than 30 years, professional traders at the CME, including four past CME presidents, have chosen DAX Research to help guide their trading. That same research is available to you. We are offering three research newsletters: the Daily News, our Daily Stock and Futures Trading Recommendations, and our twice weekly top three tiers of recommended stocks. Each of these reports are available via email. To benefit from the same research professionals have used for more than three decades, call me and get 2 weeks free with a 1 month subscription, or you may also call me for a free portfolio analysis to see how we can work together to build your future. I'm David Andelman, president of DAX Research. Call toll free 1-800-821-4968. Stock and futures have risk of loss and are not suitable for everyone.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you are aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed-income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
Interested in promoting your business to a high-end audience comprised of entrepreneurs, traders, executives, and the everyday business person? Consider advertising on Stocks and Jocks. With a devout listenership covering the Chicago market, along with a vast online presence, advertising on Stocks and Jocks may be just what it takes to put your business over the top. For more information, contact me, Matt Weber, at matt@stocksandjocks.net. That's matt@stocksandjocks.net.
Hi, I'm Audrey Johnson, an owner of Home Source Realty and a frequent contributor to Stocks and Jocks. If you're nervous about the stock market and considering diversification, or are looking for a rate of return way better than your banks, consider adding rental properties to your portfolio. Whether it's a condo, single family, or multi-unit building, I can help you select a property that meets your financial needs. Call or text me at 708-349 708-349-3456. That's 708-349-3456. Or visit my website at myhomesourcerealty.com. That's myhomesourcerealty.com.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now, right here.
Well, we're up next to Jackson. I'm Tom Amis, Mr. Kevin O'Neill, Jay-Z on the board. SP Futures down 6, Nasdaq Futures down 21. I'm going to say this is like exactly where we flipped to the other side yesterday on the futures. Hey, Kevin, let's interrupt. Russell is here as well. I heard something last night when, you know, when I was watching the football thing, I still have ears. And one of the few things you do have, and everybody's going to think I'm nuts with this. I am nuts, but...
Yeah, we already think you're nuts, yeah. Tom. Go for it.
But one thing you can... If you've ever been on a trading floor for like a long period of time, you develop a skill, which it absolutely pisses the hell out of my girlfriend. You develop a skill where you have directional hearing, where you can listen for one broker, because you know he's got an order, and essentially tone everybody else out. And it's a skill you pick up after years and years. Russell, I don't know if you were down there long enough to know what I'm talking about, but you never really lose it. So if you're in a dinner conversation, you hear somebody saying something on the next table about, like, say, Notre Dame, I can totally block out the people at my table as ambient noise and listen in over there. And the only people I've ever known that have had that skill are people that have traded on the trading floor in a big crowd for like a long period of time. Anyway, I'm sure maybe other people do. So I'm watching this thing with football and my buddies, I hear this guy at the next table and he starts ranting and raving about, who did Michigan play last week? It was one of the sisters of the poor places. It was it Southern Florida? I don't know who the hell they played. They barely beat them.
Army.
No, yeah. a week after Army.
They were off last week.
Anyway, they paid somebody $1 million to come there and basically get their butt kicked. Was it Army?
Yeah.
Okay. So this guy is ranting regarding how could they possibly pay another team $1 million? Where's the trustees? Well, how could you write that check? It's the school's money. I'm sitting there. I almost felt like getting my behind up and sitting down and say, you big dummy. Why should somebody come to your place and get zero when you got 100,000 people in there at $70 a head and you get TV and everything? People should share nothing? Is this guy dumb enough to think that actually a visiting team gets like 40% of the gate or something, like in the old days? I mean, why does he think that Michigan should not pay anybody anything?
Yeah, I mean, just start counting up the revenue. So yeah, let's say they got $70 a ticket. I don't know what their ticket price is. 70 times 100,000 people is 7 million.
Yeah, that's a number to start with.
Okay, so now you're on the plus side. You still got to pay coaches and pay all your expenses. But on the other hand, you have parking and you have concessions and you have all the people that come on campus and buy Michigan gear and you know, Michigan shirts and Michigan hats and all of that crud, and I am sure there's more if I think about it, but you get the idea. There's got to be, you know, 15 million in staging a game. 15 million
So what do you figure they paid Army? 8%?
No, they just paid them $1 million.
They paid them $1 million. Yeah, they paid them about 8%.
8% of the total take.
Oh, okay. Oh, I see. Yeah. I see. You're doing math.
Yeah. And so this guy's outraged. How could you do that? I'm like, what planet are you from? Anyway, well, Russell, we were talking about the concept of, is everybody thinks we should, it's our obligation now to like do something to Iran, even though we have no treaty that I know of my question is, and I'm going to lob this one out there, and the listeners, you know, maybe don't want to go down this road, but what are the morals associated with a proxy war? I mean, clearly.
there aren't any.
All right, so
I mean, this is a situation where this is not a situation where the underdog is being repressed by a stronger power, like in World War II. This is almost like an economic war, and I don't think it's the kind of thing that we put our own people's lives at stake.
I'm talking about the Yemen situation.
Oh, I thought you were talking about do we get in there if Saudi Arabia fights Iran? That's really what I thought.
We have people on TV that are thinking if anybody bombs Iran, it should be us right out of the gate.
Mm-hmm.
when because our oil supply is essentially the world oil supply is like a country or something.
I think when Iraq went into Kuwait, and you can debate this one up and down, but a very big militaristic country basically took out a much smaller country and annexed them.
Yeah.
And I can see the moral justification for going in there and pushing Iraq back.
Plus, that was even the United Nations.
It was also oil, and we also got a coalition of a lot of other people.
Yeah, it was the United Nations bail, more so than a U.S. bail.
Iran lashes out and does something like this to Saudi Arabia through a proxy. My understanding is some of the missiles failed and landed, and they've got them, and they can figure out where they came from. So
what I meant, proxy, back up.
We'll know that. We'll know that. But what I'm saying is, they won't know exactly where they got launched from, but they'll know the source of them. And if they're, you know, been handed over to people in Yemen to shoot at Saudi Arabia from Iran, Saudi Arabia's got a real problem with Iran, and it's their problem to take.
No, I'm a step before you.
Uh huh.
There's this proxy war going on in Yemen.
Okay,
it has been going on for a while. We never hear about it, but essentially the Saudis are back in one side, and the Iranians are back on the other side.
Yeah,
but Saudi has this long border with Yemen. And my point is,
I think Saudi Arabia is more involved in it directly.
That I don't know. You know, that's what I'm asking.
Than Iran is. That's why I keep kind of going in that direction.
What I'm saying is, at some point, if we are now Yemenis on the side that Saudi's coming after. And Iran is willing to give us, which they probably are, a bunch of weapons that could essentially go over the border. Why are we somehow regulated to only kill our own people and fight in our own area when we know Saudi is, or Iran, to take it from the other side? Why are we obligated to only kill our own people when somebody we think is killing us? Why can't we launch something in Saudi Arabia and say, here, we'll bring all of this home to you guys, or we'll bring it all home to you guys? I don't understand the morality of the border war. I mean, if the Spanish Civil War, if somebody knew they were being funded by Germany and was close enough, why wouldn't you blow up a factory in Germany? I guess is my question. If you could get there.
This situation, this one's not... we really shouldn't have a say in this one.
Except we know we're selling stuff to Saudis. Yeah. They're using it to kill people in
Yemen. And the Russians are selling stuff to Iran.
Oh, yeah, well, there's immorality in all places. I'm saying, at what point here does this, I mean, is there a morality that says, no, this must stay in Yemen? Who gets to do that?
Well, right now, that's where the two sides are fighting with each other.
What I'm saying is...
I think it's probably the worst kept secret in the world that... It really is Iran and Saudi Arabia, Arabia fighting with each other. But I mean, it's not our spot. It should be, you know, if there's a religious similarity between the two groups that are fighting in Yemen to Iran and Saudi Arabia, you know, those two countries may feel a need to back their buddies in that part of the world. Saudi Arabia definitely has a justification to get involved because, as you mentioned, it's a really long border.
Yeah.
And beyond that, I think Yemen, people from Yemen have been causing problems in Saudi Arabia long before what we just saw. This
probably.
One was just pretty
massive.
Well, yeah,
it's hard to tell. It's hard to tell who did first to who.
Right.
But I guess my point is, I'm trying to get like a, you know, If you want to bring the Pope in, I mean, where would somebody say? I mean, if I'm getting shot by bullets made in a German factory in Spain, and somebody comes to me and said, you know, if you give me a few shekels, I can go blow up that bullet factory, I might say yes. Where am I obligated to not go into Germany and blow the damn place up? I mean, I guess why? Because I mean, they're effectively fighting me; they're killing me, right?
Well, then what you just said means that any country that is fighting somebody that buys stuff from Boeing has the justification to come after us.
I think I didn't want to go that far, but I mean, if we're using the Export Import Bank to give stuff to Saudis that we know are giving it to the Yemenis, and somebody in Yemen figures it out, mm-hmm. I'm not sure the guy shouldn't be pissed off. Hope he doesn't do anything.
I think
I mean,
both sides are very pissed off at each other, and they. there are lots of little proxy wars going on in that part of the world. It's not just there.
No, I know. Kevin, what do you have to say about this?
I think the best thing the U.S. can do is continue on a path to energy independence.
Exactly.
Yes.
And we'll still have defense of Israel as part of the agenda. but even then, you're seeing now. Israel and Saudi Arabia and Jordan playing more nicely together.
Yeah, which is
I don't know if that would change with the U.S. out of the equation. But the best thing we can do is just say, hey, your corrupt selves are on your own.
Well, you know what, Kevin? If you look at a map of that area, which I did yesterday, Israel, Jordan, and Saudi are all we got.
Yeah, it really is.
And it's a big area. I mean, anyway, Kevin, thank you very much, buddy. What do you think? 13.5 points. We'll talk about it more Friday, but what's your early line on that?
My early line is, don't have a clue. 13.5 points is too much for a betting man, and I'm not one. I think at this point of the season, nobody has a clue.
Well, there you go.
We've seen that already. With the highly rated teams that have lost or struggled.
Yeah.
2 weeks ago, Southern Cal. Oh, my God, they're going to be a force. Last week they lost it.
Hey, Friday, let's talk a little bit about the legislation in California about wanting to pay their football players. They must be tired of Alabama paying them, huh?
Yeah, we can discuss that on Friday. It's a good topic.
All right, bud. Take care of yourself. Right. SP Futures down 6. NASDAQ Futures down 22. Right back, Mr. Russell Rose, who went to this reverse repo market
repo
again.
Man.
Yes, repo man. We'll be right back.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI ProDirect can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI ProDirect. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. Markets close to all-time highs, interest rates close to all-time lows. Investors are nervous, no return on cash balances, may have some invested a little too much for comfort, some not invested at all, earning very little. The market itself seems nervous. Experts say you should protect yourself. Experts say you should never sell. Experts say to get out right now, yet they are all experts. Then again, they do not know you or your situation. There are also some strange things going on at brokerage and investment advisor firms. Some solid clients and even some diligent brokers and investment advisors are being tossed out. Not big enough, don't charge enough, whatever the reason. This may leave you in a place where there literally is no one knowledgeable left to talk to if needed. PTI Securities and Futures is still here. Either here in our Chicago home office or in Arizona with Jan Neal, we still believe in servicing clients and providing a home for the right brokers or investment advisors the old-fashioned way. We are competitive, but we are also available to help. The last few years have seen a straight-up market without the need of a lot of investment help. What about this year or next year? If things change in the markets, do you really think you are ready? We also have a long history of designing and managing portfolios for people just like you. Might be good for you to check us out at PTISecurities.com. That's PTISecurities.com.
Is your business being challenged by the complexities surrounding healthcare reform or other matters related to human resources management? If so, then Cognos HR can help. A longtime friend and contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, Cognos HR provides its clients with a perfect blend of strategic consulting and day-to-day HR management to drive overall improvement in business performance. Companies that join the Cognos HR family are better able to manage healthcare costs, enhance benefit offerings, and improve employee satisfaction by leveraging our access to Fortune 500 benefits. Our innovative onboarding and payroll technology, along with our constant attention to detail, enables us to provide the highest level of quality service to our clients. Now, your time and energy can be focused on generating business and increasing your bottom line. We'll take care of the rest. For more information, call us at 630-401-8810 or search us on the web at CognosHR.com. Cognos HR, innovation in human resources. Licensed in Illinois and Arizona.
Hi, this is John Neal from PTI Securities and Futures and a frequent contributor to the Stocks and Jocks radio program, as well as the branch manager of our Peoria, Arizona location. I hope you, like many of our listeners, have benefited from the outstanding market returns of the last several years. but have you recently become unsettled due to the worldwide geopolitical uncertainty, the increased volatility of commodities and currencies, or the looming Federal Reserve interest rate hikes? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, we can help you. Here at PTI, we offer a unique variety of income-producing securities as well as our proprietary hedging program to protect your assets. More information about these exciting programs and much more can be obtained from our website at ptisecurities.com or feel free to email me at john@ptisecurities.com. That's john@ptisecurities.com.
Hear ye, hear ye! The Homer Broadcasting System is on the air!
Stocks, jocks,
Stocks and Jocks.
Stocks and Jocks.
You are out of control!
Right here, right now, right here, right now, right now.
Blowing up, Stocks and Jocks. I'm Tom Allie. He's Mr. Russell Rhodes. She's Jay-Z. Doing a perfect job on the board. Perfect, Jay-Z. Of course, I don't see any of you using all... Are you using toes and fingers over there, or everything going, or what?
Oh, yeah.
Well, you know, the at least you're not going to try and put me in a yoga class like AV was yesterday.
Why? Yoga's good for you.
I'm sure it is, but I think I'm... What do you think, Russell, me in a yoga class?
I used to do yoga on a pretty regular basis.
Don't tell AV that. She'll have
I
you
did.
She wants to do the class for the whole office.
I need to get back to it, but I'm here in the mornings instead.
Can you imagine this office all on our yoga mats on the floor? What an odd scene that would be.
You don't look out the window and notice the squirrels running by as much as I do. But, you know, right across the street, they used to do Tai Chi in the mornings when I was here.
Well, they do now in the afternoon
they still
for the
do
kids.
That?
Mostly for the kids in the afternoon, you see
it. Oh, okay. Yeah, they used to be in there in the morning.
Yeah, they're doing their
Tai Chi.
Their Kung Fu or whatever they're doing over there. Anyway, I mentioned earlier, I kind of led into this, that a few things came together for this spike in treasuries the other night, and we're trying to figure it out. But two things sort of happened. I'm gonna say one. I was reading in this one article that last month there was a $200 billion budget deficit. Last month, the treasury receipts and so forth. I don't know if you spotted that because we went through $1 trillion on the year. Now we'll probably come back a little.
Well, that's you know.
I'm
trillion here, trillion there.
Well, I mean, we'll probably come back this month because this month the corporations pay their things. Well, last year, I'll give you for instance, last year we were down $214 billion in August and came back $119 in September. Right?
And so, there is a seasonal factor in that. That's one of the things that people are using for excuses for what's
Well, but
happening.
I'm saying we had this the deficit is... But one of the odd things that I read is that the Treasury went out to borrow. This has nothing to do, I don't think, with the stuff the other night, but it has to do with a reserve stuff, which I'm going to let you talk about, is the amount of Treasury borrowings this month, just general, versus people re-upping, for lack of a better term. How's that for a Southside term?
Mm-hmm.
Refinancing or staying in there was like only like $20 billion of it was a rollover. So there was actually $58 billion or $54 of new money.
New stuff coming, yeah.
Which is real rare. That's essentially what would, quote, happen if the Chinese said, just give me a check. Or if you every month rolled $100,000 like a PTI here, we'd go out and get you a one-month T-bill every month for $100,000, and all of a sudden you said, I don't want to do it, send me a check. It pulls out of the system, right?
Yeah.
And so last month, probably due to the budget outlays, they were 50-some billion dollars in the hole before any of this timing started with the corporations and the other stuff. Now, you can take it from here.
Take it from here? Am I talking about the repo market?
Yeah, what caused the 4%?
What caused the spike? Well, that I want to back up just a little bit and give you a little bit
of
perspective.
You have the floor, Mansoor.
And this is a rarity. So basically, what I'm doing right now in a financial ethics class is we are going through the chronology of what happened in 2007 and 2008. And there are, and looking back on it, it's real easy to see all these little problems that started popping up early that led to a bigger problem. This repo thing to me sounds like an early crack. Now that doesn't mean that next week it's gonna work its way through the rest of the system. But this repo thing, basically, the repo market is banks that need that you're supposed to have a certain amount of cash reserves every night overnight.
Right, differentiate the funds market from the repo market.
The Fed funds market, you can go borrow from the Treasury.
Well, no, the Fed funds market is you borrow from another bank. Discount window is where you get it from the Fed.
Okay, but the Fed fund, well, you borrow at the Fed funds rate,
right.
But the repo market, the rate usually is very close to, if not in line with, the Fed funds rate.
Correct.
It's basically a risk-free way for a bank to raise their cash reserves, and it's risk-free up to the lender because, and nothing is ever risk-free, but theoretically it's risk-free because I give you securities, and or basically you buy securities from me for a day, and I promise to buy them back the next day at a small premium, which comes to about 2 to 2.25% annually.
Which essentially is the interest rate.
Yeah, which is basically the interest rate. And yeah. It's always in line with the Fed funds rate. And this is a way that one bank, if they're a little short on the amount of reserves that they need to hold overnight, is able to raise that cash. And banks that have extra cash, and a lot of banks have extra cash, especially the very big banks, something that we've addressed many times here. It's typically the big bank lending to the small bank. Well, you don't know this outright because there is a little bit of anonymity there, but one theory that's not as popular but might be a little bit scarier is that the big banks with the extra reserves have just chosen not to be involved in the repo market over the past 2 or 3 days. Now, it could be that they don't want to be involved because taxes were due on the 15th from big corporations to the Treasury. And we're going to assume that money is not available for the repo market once it gets sent to the Treasury. You and I have debated whether that's true or not, but we're going to make that assumption just to allow that to be a reason that the repo market had a couple of problems a couple of days ago. The thing that really concerns me is today is going to be the third day that the Treasury is going to have to be involved in the repo market, and this is something that they haven't done. I don't even think they didn't really do it in the 2008 time frame. What they did instead was quantitative easing.
No, they did it. They did it right early on.
Early on, right? But because, they picked up quantitative easing, they didn't have to do this anymore
because they started buying assets, which was even dumber.
So there's another reason that this may and I don't, you know, I never heard this beforehand, but I heard it, looking back in one of the reports yesterday was the Fed was gonna stop doing quantitative easing until they saw a problem in the repo market, and they were going to pick it back up. So maybe we get that announcement today. That's what's really super interesting about all of this is that we get a Fed meeting today. Man, if you didn't want to be Powell before today, you really don't want to be him today.
Here's what I'm thinking is happening. You can critique me, Professor.
This is like the key day for his legacy.
Oh, yeah.
This is huge.
Well, Professor, here's what I think is going to come unglued here. And I've opined a few times. I'm going to have to drag, we may have to go interview my Fed buddies because they're so focused in on the stuff they do. I don't even know that they
don't
care.
Do they not see forest for the trees?
I think they'd rather not know.
I can understand
that. Yeah, yeah. But here's. In a normal world, in our normal world, when people talked about the Fed funds rate, the rate at which banks lend to each other. Nobody wants to go to the discount window. You're the bad boy. You're like the dog in the corner in a new commercial, right? Because you didn't manage your stuff right. If you have a problem, the problem might be, say, the Rhodes family, which is exceptionally wealthy, and Russell finally decides to pay off his wife for losing the gin rummy tour for the last 20 years. So he writes her a $5 million check to pay off their gin rummy thing. Well, of course, they would never think of banking at the same bank. So the $5 million comes out of the XYZ bank and it goes into XYY bank. Well, now somebody might have a reserve problem because $5 million just left the place. Mm-hmm. And somebody else now has a surplus. So what the Fed expects people to do is that bank to call the other one and say, hey, I need a few bucks overnight. Yeah, we got plenty. And they borrow overnight for their reserves. And what the Fed does is they manage that through the open market operations. They manage that rate because they control the amount of float in the system, correct?
Correct.
But now since 2007, 2008, when the Fed has said we're going to raise the interest rates, they really have been cheating and not telling people, because they have not drained the system to actually maintain the old federal funds system. They turned around and said, we, the Fed, will pay you 1.75% interest overnight, essentially become a competitor in what used to be the federal funds system. In other words, if you...
Are they a competitor or a supporter?
Sort of both. So in other words, if a bank, you know, if the Fed wasn't paying any interest rate, Northern Trust might call up J.P. Morgan and say, what's overnight? Well, then the rate would be 0.5%, but since I'm getting 1.5% at the Fed, you got to at least match that. Okay, if you want money from me. But I think it got so easy just to give the money back over to the Fed. I think a lot of these guys, they don't use the old Fed funds market as much as they used to. So now all of a sudden you get a night where you need it. I think you're right. Half the guys had already sent their money over to the Fed. The only place it had it.
You know what? There was an imbalance, and the Fed took care of it.
Well, what I'm saying, the imbalance might have been.
But
the deposit.
There shouldn't be an imbalance.
Okay, what I'm saying is the deposit, the imbalance might have been because people it put their money already at the Fed because they're paying them interest, and the Fed had to get it back into market. I'm saying it's not the same as it was 10 years ago, where you actually, where the entire, there were times when the Fed discount window never got used for like a year.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but now the Fed has got a reverse discount window. They want the money back. At one time, one of my Fed guys told me that M0 was bigger than M1. There was so much in the system. You could be the only man on earth that knows what M0 is.
I don't know what M0
is. It's the bank money put back at deposit on the Fed. There was so much money in the system that the banks just dumped it back on the Fed and were getting like 1% interest on it. Which is unconscionable. Okay. I mean, in regular monetary theory, that would never happen.
Oh, it's the combination of the money out there plus the money at the central bank.
Right, and they're paying interest on it. So if I all of a sudden, your check came out of my bank to your wife, and I need the dough, I'm going to go someplace and say, well, look, we already sent it to the Fed. By the way, you better pay 1.25% because those idiots are paying 1. So they're like a competitor in a system instead of having the banks essentially take care of it themselves. Because every time a check goes from one to the other, unless it's the Chinese pulling money out, the funds just get moved around, right? Pretty much.
Yeah. I mean, the money's there, and the idea, and the theoretical idea is you summed it up very well, that when my $5 million goes from my bank to my wife's bank because she's smart enough to keep everything separate, that, you know, my bank may be a few million short, and they can borrow from my wife's bank.
But here's a real heavy question I have for you, though. And you mentioned it earlier. I don't know if you remember that. You said, is it the start of something? For a long period of time, if we have a trillion-dollar deficit, okay, roughly half that has been made up by overseas people. It's been like 22%. Japan, some China, a lot of it Saudi Arabia. They've been putting money back on deposit here. If that starts to wane out, can we still get essentially $1 trillion a year out of our own people? It almost sounds like
we can, but we have to basically print more money.
Well, either print more money, a lot more money, or you got to start raising the interest rate.
Yep,
or you got to start paying people
more. Yeah, no, you start doing both, and what ends up happening, and this is really, and I say this nonchalantly, although it's a pretty serious thing, and will not be a very pleasant experience, but the way that we eventually will get this debt down in real terms is it's gonna get inflated away. It happened in the '70s. We inflated away the a lot of the debts that were built up during the Vietnam War, whether through our own actions or other actions.
But that's a massive danger.
I know that, but that's the only out that I see.
Well, right now,
and you ask me, how do I teach my students about inflation? That's what I tell them. I said, this is something that is going to have to happen.
But if the interest rates go with it,
uh-huh.
the amount it costs you in the meantime could almost screw you over as bad as is paying it back directly.
Because you'll be able, but you'll have to pay the higher interest rates on the newer debt, but you'll deflate what's currently outstanding enough that will probably overwhelm that part. or you know,
I'd love to see a study on that for the '70s, but we weren't $21 trillion in the hole in the '70s.
Yeah, I don't know where we were as a percent. I mean, even the absolute number is one thing, but as a percent of GDP, I don't know where we were either.
But
that's really how you want to look at it.
Because I mean, it may not sound like it, but we're actually talking some sort of high finance here, because you're talking about very. Two things can happen when you put money in the system. It's not like, by the way, your buddy Milton Friedman one day answered a question in class. And it, talk about when times change, the answers have to change. Somebody said, what do you think about the Fed? And this was during the time you're talking about, mm-hmm. early 70s, mid-70s. I was there 75, 76. They said, what do you think about the national debt going higher? And he said, I don't worry about it at all. He says, because it becomes a liability on the balance sheet of the government, but an asset on the balance sheet of the citizens. Mm-hmm. So it's just like you owing your wife $50. Mm-hmm. The Rhodes house is flat, right? Who cares if one of you knows the other one inside when you've got one checking account and everybody knows you got money in the checking account?
Yeah.
Right? You know, the Rhodes family's worth $10 million. Doesn't matter if you owe the missus $1 million, right?
Exactly.
But now, obviously, that's not the case. And Milt's been dead a long time. Other people own part of this debt. So what we've seen have happened, you might ask yourself, self, how exactly does the Treasury spend $1 trillion more a year than they're taking in? Well, the answer is other people are buying the debt, say half of it, and a third of it, the Fed is essentially printing money and pouring in, right?
Right.
And so you maybe 20% of it is actually being borrowed from your population. The rest is either being made up out of nothing, or by other people. So even if you go back with classical monetary theory and talk about the 50s, 60s, 70s, it doesn't necessarily give you a clear roadmap of getting out of the current mess. Right?
Not a clear roadmap. I mean, I don't consider me saying that getting out of the mess through a spike in inflation, I don't even think it'll be a spike. I think it'll be a sustained multi-year inflation. I mean, that's not a good... I don't think there is a good roadmap to getting out.
Well, if you were Donald Trump...
We've crashed the plane on top of a mountain in the Andes, and the closest place of civilization is 300 miles away, and the two healthiest among our group are going to have to walk the 300 miles to get us saved.
Well, I mean...
Because there's just no good out right now. But there really isn't, and it gets worse from month to month, and because it's a long-term problem and not a short-term problem... nobody in Washington D.C. is going to really try to address and solve it.
But if you have some people that claim if the debt grows less than the GDP grows, you'll get there eventually.
And I believe that for the law. But the problem is that's not what's going on.
But we also have the rose colored glasses in regarding real growth, because I mean if you were to a lob one out there, I shouldn't. But Trump and his ilk, or Obama and his ilk, if he was still in office, or who's ever going to be in office next, whether it be Trump or somebody else, they're never going to tell it to you in that terms.
No.
They're never going to say, I mean, if they were in the Weimar Republic, and the Weimar Republic was and Venezuela's probably having some of the same problems, literally when it first started, people wanted to be paid at noon, say go to the grocery store before the prices went up in the afternoon. Well, if you're an economic wag and you're the head of the Weimar, was it Mort Weimar, or who the hell was the head of the Weimar Republic? I don't remember. Was the guy's name Weimar? I don't know why you even call it that.
No, I don't know why they call it either.
But
I don't think that was the king's name.
I guarantee you our current president would call the inflation during the day growth, because now the GDP on bread in the afternoon is $5, in the morning it was $2.50. It's not growth. So you got to be very careful that you don't introduce inflation into the system and be fooled into thinking that that's growth. Because it isn't. Okay. I mean, there may be growth and inflation, which is okay, but there may be... I mean, right now, if you make the case that the inflation rate for the last 7 years has been 4% and not 1%, we've had no growth. Right?
And it probably has been.
It probably has been.
I mean, we both agree on that one, too, that inflation is higher than a lot of people will let on. I've started paying more and more attention to that since I've been hanging out with you.
Is that a good thing?
You know, yeah. For the most part.
Blood pressure up or down?
It just age.
Just age?
Yeah, getting more upset, griping about things under my breath.
Yeah, well, it's...
Damn kids.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it's not the thing is, it's not going to hit the politicians. It's not going to get to the politicians and have somebody that's going to be able to run on something like this until it hits people personally.
Is Mario Draghi?
It's not going to hit people personally until they start to, you know, see that a loaf of bread has gone up a buck or something like that.
I'm going to say that...
And that's when it's going to be way too freaking late.
I think it's hitting people personally. They don't necessarily... It doesn't register. But even... I look at my, my gas bills. You know, mm-hmm. It's an apartment, right?
Yeah.
I'm going to say that 10 years ago, the delivery charge for the gas was, I don't know, whatever. For those of that don't look at your gas bill or your electric bill, for that matter, why do you think the electric company is so anxious for you to use bulbs now that use less energy? Versus 40 years ago, where they were happy to give you the bulbs that use the most energy possible, right? In those days, they actually made money on selling you electricity.
Yeah.
Now they could care less about that. Yeah. It's the delivery charge
yeah.
and the maintenance charge.
So my
gas bill is $45 a month in the summertime. The last 2 months, I haven't cooked that much. It still shouldn't be zero. My number of gas therms used, mm-hmm. zero. So my...
What's the bill for delivering?
$45 for an apartment.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
But I mean, years ago, the mm-hmm. gas bill in the summertime got down to $15.
Yeah, because you were going to charge for what you use, not charged for.
They're going to give now. They're going to give you some BS that they've actually, you know, that the bill in January is a little lower because they've helped me out by stretching it around.
Uh-huh.
All I know is they charge me $45 and I didn't use any gas. If there's a cold month in the winter, it still shoots up like a mother.
That's, you know, if it was 15 and now it's 45, that's what, 300% inflation?
Well, yeah.
Yeah.
So. I'm sure there's some story mm-hmm. that'll tell you that in January they clipped the top off of that a little bit in return. You know, somebody at the ICC in Illinois mm-hmm. will say, well, we made some deal with them where we cut out the spikes and, you know, this type of thing. But it really comes down to, then you don't, a week doesn't go by that somebody doesn't call me an alternative supplier of electricity,
mm-hmm.
and they will say get your electric from somewhere else. Doesn't matter. Camel Edison, you get it all from somewhere else.
Yeah,
because the delivery charge is what you're paying for.
Yeah.
So get a load of this. In my building, there's four electric meters, four gas meters. In the same like little closet downstairs.
Yep, and I know one of the people who's the other stuff in the closet with you.
Ah, the which one of my creatures?
The camera person.
Oh Jesus! Good luck with that.
Yeah, I love how how all of a sudden we just deviated into Soprano speak.
Yeah, yeah.
The guy with the camera and the kid.
Yeah.
Okay.
God, how do you know those? Whatever. I want to go into it. But so we had his. Terrific lady living downstairs, and she up and gets married, which is fine.
Mm-hmm.
Now one of her friends came in, and he's a worker for state of Illinois, and works for one of the legislative people. And he's in Springfield all the time. Nicest kid going. Well, kid, he's 30-something. Kid to me. And anyway, Blair, the lady who used to live downstairs, goes over and says, these people want to come down and check all the gas stuff. And I go, okay, well, she goes, by the way, there's like this gas smell over there. I said, Blair, why didn't you tell me that? It's only been there for a while. I just opened the window. No, that's not what you're supposed to. So I go down there. I get the guy from People's Gas. And he says, oh, man, there's gas smell down here. I got no kidding. Well, it's leaking before after the meter. So I'm paying for it.
Uh-huh.
Right. So anyway, they go, oh, no, we're going to get a guy over here today and put a new meter in. It's fine. And the guy shows up in a couple hours, and he's a nice guy, and he puts a new meter in, and everything's okay. Somehow or another, and I don't know, I have no idea how they did this. I don't know if it's the automatic pick up or whatever, but I never have any gas usage whatsoever, and the one downstairs is doubled, the garden apartment. So So in the wintertime, that bill's $200 and mine's still $40. Was showing me with no gas used.
I think you should not let anybody know about this.
Well, you know me well enough. What do you think happens?
You went and split it with them.
I split it with them.
Yeah, you're such a nice guy.
Anyway, so, but I mean, how
would you have split it with the camera guy with the kid?
I can tell you. I can tell you.
I don't want to start trouble with.
I can tell you a story. I can tell you a story about that.
I love that. I love that guy.
Let's just say on the second floor, the original occupant of the upstairs, the penthouse. Not that he's on CNBC or anything.
Mm-hmm.
Let's just say one of the vents on the second floor, when before the thing got turned into four condos,
mm-hmm.
was still going into the upstairs apartment. He goes, "How come I'm heating the upstairs?" I go, "That's how your mentors set it up." Anyway,
I'm not shocked at that.
The things I find out, you know, going out as I wander through the remodeling of a 400-year-old building.
Did you know Weimar stands for failure through inflation?
Really?
No.
I mean, I would.
You know what it means? You said we.
Well, I know that there was a government between.
Yeah. It's the name of the town where they signed the Constitution or put together the. It's like if they called us the Philadelphia Republic.
Well, they booted the king out, right? What was his name? S&P futures down 5, Nasdaq futures down 16.75. Where's our buddy Robert? He knows all this stuff. We'll be right back. Stocks and Jacks.
How much confidence do you have that your investments will make you wealthy? Do you truly know the odds? Welcome to Luckbox, the control freak's guide to life, money, and probability. Luckbox shows you how to gauge the likelihood of success before you commit to an investment or any other decision. And Luckbox is free for 1 year at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Each new issue dives deep into the current investing climate, separates the signal from the noise with relevant trade ideas, and equips you with cutting-edge tactics you don't already know. Luckbox is the essential magazine for proactive investors who are hell-bent on pursuing life, luxury, and happiness through sports, fitness, travel, food, spirits, music, and a whole lot more. Smart investors don't bet on possibilities, they play the probabilities. Luckbox is $7.99 on newsstands, but you can subscribe for 10 free digital issues at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks. Don't rely on luck. Get Luckbox at luckboxmagazine.com/jocks.
Hello, this is Tom Howe, the Chief. We've talked a lot on the show about risk and suitability, about how your portfolio should match your age, income, and risk appetite. It's been hard for investors to maintain that suitability in the last several years due to a Fed strategy that has driven interest rates to virtually zero. You may have even heard that the Fed was trying to drive conservative investors to a riskier portfolio on purpose, for whatever reason. I'm sure you're aware of investors that took some increased risk, such as longer-term fixed income securities, and are now unhappy with that choice. At PTI, we've always stressed total portfolio risk awareness and tried to minimize chasing returns in a tough environment. Well, now it looks like maybe interest rates are moving more towards historical levels. Everyone needs to be aware of what that continued movement might do to your portfolio, both good and bad. We also have a stock market that seems to have stalled, at least for the short term. I think it's time for everyone to take a serious look at their goals, their risks, and their portfolios. Do they match? If not, we can help. We have a signature protected index program. We have ways to hedge against interest risk. We can make that portfolio right for you again. Go to PTISecurities.com or call us right now. The market can change very rapidly. That's PTISecurities.com.
This self-directed trading is a lonely job. Online trading is not as easy as point and click.
No, it's not. Everyone, even professionals, need to share ideas and think out loud every now and then.
That's what I like about PTI Pro Direct. Their staff of former option floor traders really helps me choose the right strategy for trading option volatility and plan the time decay for my covered writing program.
Yep, nothing can replace years of trading experience to stop you from making that dumb trade and for saving a few bucks. We've all been there and done that.
Yeah, I have access to all that great trading advice and experience for just a penny a share for stocks, $1 for equity options, and $1 minimum a trade.
Our clients at PTI Pro Direct can call when they need a little help on a trade or just to talk about the market in general. We trade every day. We love this stuff.
That's what I like most about PTI Pro Direct. Cheap prices along with great advice from real floor traders. It's the best of both worlds.
Tell your friends. That's PTIProDirect.com. PTIProDirect.com.
Are you one of the millions of people who suffer with pain? Do you wake up in the morning with stiffness in the lower back or neck? Why are you using medication to cover up the symptoms without treating the actual cause? Painkillers, muscle relaxants, and anti-inflammatories are not the answer. At ChiroMed, physicians are trained to detect the cause of your symptoms and to correct the underlying problem. If you're ready to listen to common sense and do what it takes to make changes in your body that can affect your health for the rest of your life, Give ChiroMed a call and set up a complimentary consultation. They are located in Orland Park and can be reached at 708-403-2727. 20,000 patients over 22 years have been treated at ChiroMed, and over 90% of them have had positive results without medication or expensive surgery. Isn't it time you did something good for your body too? Give ChiroMed a call. 708-403-2727. That's 708-403-2727. Let's get you pain-free and living again.
Stocks, jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
Stocks and jocks.
You are out of control.
Right here, right now.
Hello, welcome back to Stocks and Jacks. I'm Tom Allen. Mr. Russell Roach, he's Jay-Z on the board. Again, we have the big Fed meeting today. What Russell introduced, and boy, you know, Russell, I hadn't even thought of that, that he was going to get a bazillion questions today.
Oh, gosh, I don't want to be him.
Yeah, why did I, you know what? The people that he has in there, Mr. Soft Pitch down the middle like batting practice, mm-hmm. I doubt if they're going to be on him like running rice.
Is this one of the meetings where, well, get through this stuff.
Yeah, okay. Sorry. S&P futures down 450, NASDAQ futures down 15 and a quarter. Not much going on here before the Fed meeting. That's why reading the stuff here is somewhat boring. Dow futures down 34. Over in Europe, we've got the DAX up 19.2%, FTSE up 9.1%, CAC around up 9.2%. So up slowly there. A little mix over in Asia. Nikkei down 40.2%, Shanghai up 7.2%, Hang Seng down 36.1%. Bonds, 1.78, again, higher than the 1.49 they get down to, but they've stopped going down there, down actually 3 basis points. We've got oil, down 81 cents, 58.53. Didn't we start this whole mess about 55, then we went to 61?
Yeah, we're going to be lower. 50,
yeah. Well, we're still nowhere near 55, but we're
I think it'll be funny in about a week when we breach when the gap's filled.
I'm going to say
that's behind us.
If you were smart enough like me to fill a Suburban up last week with my 42-gallon tank, I might take a pass this weekend.
Yeah.
And if I make it the next weekend, the price will be probably right back down where they were. Gold, up down 330, 1510. Silver down 17 cents, 1796. Jay-Z, what do you got for us? Traffic, weather, sports.
Thanks, Chief. Morning, everyone. The time is now 7:35. Chicago weather today is clear and sunny, high 78, low 64. Phoenix is also clear and sunny, high of 103, low 78. In baseball, the White Sox lost to the Twins 9-8. Cubs lost to the Reds 4-2, and Diamondbacks lost to the Marlins 12-6. There is an accident on Fullerton going west between Southport and Clybourne, still causing some delays, along with another accident on the Eisenhower going east just before Racine. There is some stop-and-go traffic. Expect up to 1 hour delays. Nothing else. Back to you.
We're just talking on break. Russell teaches a business ethics class. And
financial ethics.
Well, same thing, isn't it?
Well, there's two different classes there.
Well, isn't there a business and legal ethics class? I mean, ethics or
this
ethics?
This is the most difficult thing I have ever tried to teach.
And I think you should get together
painful.
With Kevin.
Okay.
And you know what? I would love to talk about trading floor ethics and how, you know, in a lot of ways, those are the people you could trust your entire life. Because
your word is your bond.
Your word is your bond. And if for a second it wasn't, you're done.
Yep.
Let's just say we have a president now. We couldn't have been a trader in an hour.
Oh, my God. I can only imagine how you would have. No, I didn't say buy. I said sell. Well, that's okay. I can just picture him in the middle of the S&P pit screaming for people to trade with him. And everybody turning their backs to him.
Oh, yeah, I can't even.
And that is exactly what would happen. It'd be like, you know, he screaming at a bunch of trees and nobody saying anything back.
But the interesting part is, I mean, you wonder if, as a matter of fact, somebody said to me this week, we're doing some deal, and they said, well, we need a contract. And I said, you're the first person that's needed a contract with me in 40 years. I mean, didn't we just make a deal? You know, the thought of having to write down what I just said when I promised somebody we have a deal or a price. It's mm-hmm. that. I mean, if I say I'm buying your car for $1,000 or $5,000 or $10, and you say okay, what do we got to write it down for? In my world,
For $1,000 or $10,
or even if it's $100, what's the difference? We just made a deal.
Yeah,
so it's like saying if it's $100 lot, don't trust me. If it's $10 lot, it's okay.
I think that's one of the last bastions of where you said something and you stuck with it.
Yeah, I don't.
You know,
I used to know a mortgage broker when I first started doing the show.
Mm-hmm.
He said one thing: if a guy tells me he's a trader, as soon as we have a deal, I never even worry about it.
You know it's done.
You know it's done. Hey, I do have a question for you.
Sure.
And this is when it comes down to ethics. The person I learned the most about from ethics was obviously you learned it from your parents and the nuns and other people if you grew up like I did. So it wasn't like, but there was a priest that I'm now starting to wobble on a little bit. When I say wobble on, I had a class at Notre Dame by Father Fitzgerald. And he was, the guy just croaked. He'd been at like 107 or something.
Oh, my goodness.
He was old then. He'd been at like 107. He was an arbitrator and a mediator. And he was the guy that whenever you talk about black and white, he was the white. Somebody asked him in class, when you go to do an arbitration for like Ford or somebody in big places, he'd go, they say, how do you stay independent? He said, the first thing you do is you make all your airline reservations yourself. You rent the car yourself, and you get some, flea bag motel somewhere around this outskirts. You don't stay anywhere where you're going to run into anybody.
You don't see anybody.
And he says, and if you go out for a burger that night, and a beer shows up at your table, you walk over to the payphone, which in those days there weren't any cell phones, you call the people that hired you and say you've been compromised, you can't do it.
Love it.
Now, mm-hmm. And over time, I've given this story about you're either half screwed or you're not. I mean, there's no such thing as, you're pregnant or you're not. You can't be a little pregnant, right?
Yeah.
I mean, but over time, I'm starting to think now, he was a priest. Mm-hmm. He'd avowed poverty. But he also
was taken care of for the rest of his
life. He's also taken care of.
Right.
And
easy.
In the immortal words of your hero, who was the boxer and was always in jail? What the hell was his name?
Mike Tyson.
Yeah. I got three hats and a cot, right, is in jail. I mean, this guy had three hats and a cot at Notre Dame.
Yeah. At Notre Dame.
Which didn't make him a bad guy, but he was in a seminary. Yeah. And he had his... I marvel with the idea, but if all of a sudden, now your regular job got, bleep canned somehow,
mm-hmm.
and you need this arbitration gig, and you need the money, and you got a mortgage payment to play, you're going to say, this beer is not going to compromise me. Matter of fact, if I find out who sent it, I might take it out of him. Yeah. And as you age, you realize the whole world's kind of a gray area. You have to have your morals in place. Say, no, I can't. And as my one uncle used to say, was a fighter pilot, Tom, if everybody acted like that, would we have chaos or would we have order? Could we all live together?
We'd have chaos.
Yeah,
we would. I'm certain you did not watch this show. Jay-Z, pay attention, because if you watched it, I want you to chime in. But there's a YouTube show called Wayne about this kid that if anybody wrongs anybody he even partially cares about, he beats them to a bloody pulp.
It's a little overreaction, but...
Yeah, no, and the criticism that his mom has about him and his father is that they see everything in black and white. And he basically wreaks havoc all the time because if he sees somebody being done wrong, he basically steps in and fixes that wrong very quickly. Like I think they have him beating somebody with a trombone or something in a high school.
Could have worse.
Did you watch Wayne? Jay-Z?
No.
Okay, you watch Wayne. That's your homework assignment. And you report back on everything being black and white. But because everything was black and white to this kid and his father as well, it was just chaos all the time.
Right.
Without any compromise or gray area. And our whole political, I think Wayne is a commentary on the political environment in the United States of America. Boy,
well,
that's a stretch.
But
that is part of the problem right now, is you can't, there's no in between for anybody on anything.
But I think when you're younger, especially if your parents got their bleep together, at least morally, they kind of know the drill. You don't steal something from your brother or sister on any level. Doesn't matter if it's, they nip that in the bud so fast,
mm-hmm.
right? But yet they encourage you to share. They encourage you to ask. There's a way to go about it. You can't just, if you give $2 to each kid, one kid can't run over and grab one of the other one of the, I mean, that's a no-no. There's a, yeah. That's a black and white thing. Now, if you say, I really have something I need to spend three on, can I borrow one? Now you're talking about people talking and communicating. So there's a lot to this. And there,
yeah.
I mean, and I, yeah. but other people have reached the point where this, here's one for your class. There's a judge in Illinois. I have no idea his or her name. But now that, you know, people campaign for judge, you need a lot of money.
Yeah.
The biggest contributor to his or her campaign was State Farm. Now,
I hope they're doing insurance.
But now my thought is, you know, when I was a chairman of committees at the SIBO, who's now going to be at the post office, which don't even get me started there.
Well, you can see it from there.
I know, it's great. but I would anybody who's I would just ask them to leave the room if they were voting on something that affected them.
Uh huh.
Anyway, but so you would think that if you are a judge, you would have been beaten into you by parents or nuns or somebody by this point. That if you get a case involving State Farm, you got to get your ass out of the room.
Right.
But this person, what are you talking about? Why is that a problem?
Yeah.
I mean, clearly.
I can remain unbiased.
Yeah. Clearly. Well, first of all, if you're State Farm, they can remain unbiased. That's a problem.
Yeah. Then why are they giving them any money? Yeah. What are we paying for here?
Do we assume that the person giving them the dough is really that stupid? I've always thought that people who give people money, there's some rationality to it.
I don't expect people to give me money because they like me.
My grandfather, my uncle used to.
Because they want something from me.
He was on a police force in the county, and they did a bunch of raids on, you know, brothels and things like that back when, you know, Western Electric and those places were in that, and, what's the other one? They made the locomotives. Electromotive. We're all 24-hour plants, like 6 days a week at least. And, you know, there was stuff going. There were people coming off, shift at, you know, 8 in the morning. There's people coming off shift at midnight. So to say the bars and brothels were doing a big business is an understatement, right? I mean, you know, you got 60,000 guys, basically, you know, rotating in and out of.
I understand.
You know. Anyway, so he's there, and he's, you know, he's a undercover detective, and they bust a bunch of people. And of course, he gets to know all the, quote, guys. And he moves to Chicago Heights. Now he's got a job as putting printing presses together. And every morning that he's home, he goes to breakfast, and is, you know, I could name the names, but I won't. And I go, "Unc, you're having breakfast with those guys? Like, what are you doing?" He goes, "They're fine." He goes, "Your grandfather told me don't ever take a dime. As long as you never take a dime, they're just regular guys. They're your buddies. Talk about the weather. Talk about the White Sox. Talk about the Cubs. Talk about the Bears." He's but just don't ever get yourself in hack.
Mm-hmm.
So when somebody gives you that dough, how do you say that when the day comes? That you're going to be told how could you possibly be?
You can't be.
And if it's 100 hours,
I've experienced this with students and grades, where you know I enjoy BSing with some of them in the trading lab and stuff like that, and then when it comes down to grades and they complain, you know they're tugging at my heartstrings and stuff, and it's making me harder. It's harder for me to say no to some students than others because I feel like there's been a little bit of a personal relationship developed there, and no money, you know. So it's just human nature.
No money or anything else.
Yeah, I mean, just not other than, you know, talking a little bit about the markets every once in a while, or asking my opinion about things when they see me around campus.
Not the Eagles son, city girls seem to find out early. I'd open doors with just a smile.
Yeah, it's impossible due to human nature to remain completely untainted unless you do what was the name Father what
Fitzgerald
Father Fitzgerald. I think he's got it down. That's how that
if you
the
can.
Way he's living it. That's if the way. Well, that's the way a judge should be. Judge should be, you know, above reproach. You'd like to think.
Whenever we've had,
I don't think that's I don't think it's necessarily every judge is corrupt. It's just that there's a human nature issue that we all fall prey to.
Well, I've had several guests on, that, you know, politicians or people with scratch. I mean, it's not like they. By the way, Ardua's assistant producer AV.
Mm-hmm.
She said she's working the other night, and she works as a waitress at one new place downtown. I said, "Any scratcho?" Tom, what is scratcho? Maybe my slang is totally lost on her. She's from the Ukraine. She knows perfect English, but
yeah,
has no idea. Whenever
she has to look up those things, yeah,
I have to when I lapse into South Side, she has no concept. But where was I going with this? I'm saying, but we've had these people on, and I say, okay, you and I, you know, say we settle on a candidate. I don't care, Republican, Democrat.
Tulsi.
But all of a sudden the campaign starts and somebody has one of these, you know, cocktail parties on the north side and they invite us over. And they're, what do they call them, a bundler? So you and I pony up. You and I pony up, say, 10 grand a pop.
Okay.
All right, so we throw that 10 grand in there. Now, the question is, if we are, you know, Russell Rhodes, Inc., or Russell and Chief, Inc., and God knows what we do, make widgets, what do we think, and what does the other side think, more because there needs to be some sort of an agreement, what is that 10 grand essentially buy us? Now, if you and I hold the party and get 10 people to come up with the 10 grand, and we send a check for 100, what does that buy us? Does the first guy get to talk to me, to talk to the candidate? Does the guy who put the 100 grand together, will you at least get a return phone call? If the number is $1 million, will you pick up the phone direct? I mean, we've had people, and there appears to be somewhat of a pecking order on this. So I couldn't tell you what it is, but people have been on the air and said, no, for the first one, you at least get some sign of access to an aid, for instance, if you need it. Like if something's affecting your industry or you. If you're the bundler, you might actually, the aid will take your call. If you're, you know, a million, I mean, if you're George Soros or who's ever, you know, ponying the money up for Trump on the Republican side, I mean, Trump's going to take the phone call of the guy from, you know, who's his best buddy now, from Apple. Because Apple,
Tim
obviously.
Cook.
Yeah. They're giving him a bunch of dough. So I'm not indicting Trump on that. They're all doing it. But somebody, they're somewhere written or unwritten in one of the cans in Congress or in Springfield is where this money comes and where you get to do. You know, mm-hmm. I mean, when our man Greg invited me, he got two tickets to go to, I won't name the Republican head of the Illinois Senate. we go to this little party and, mm-hmmm. That was $200-$300 to have a cocktail thing. So we're in there, and of course every lobbyist from Commonwealth Edison was there. And the two of them that were there were drop dead gorgeous and dressed to the nines. And there was if you stayed and went to dinner, it was another like $500. So of course we didn't go to the dinner. And one of the girls says to me, ladies, are you guys coming to the dinner? Oh no, we have another one of these functions to go to. We're busy. How's that for a hunk of BS? Instead of saying, we're not ponying up to 500, we're out of here. I didn't want to say that. It would not have sounded good. You know, so, but I mean, look at the people that are there. Now we know what it gets Commonwealth Edison. Every outing, there's a check and there's somebody easy on the eyes who's very intelligent. And I'm not saying they're not professional. They are.
Yeah.
But I mean, let's put it this way. You and I aren't that person. Less than anyone is an old gray-haired guy there. I'm not going to turn anybody's head other than what's he doing here. Right? I mean, we know the drill.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
So, I mean, now what is that when something comes down from Commonwealth Edison? What does that buy them from this guy? Does it buy them reading the bill and saying, this thing's a piece of crap?
Does it buy them saying, this is how you're going to vote? Or does it buy them 15 minutes on the phone to make their argument?
I'm going to bet that it buys them, if they can jam something through the ICC, as egregious as it is, this person won't start a floor fight against it. Probably buys them that.
Yeah.
Where
it buys them not necessarily voting the exact way they want them to, but not making a stink in the other direction.
Right. I mean, maybe it's not
going to go out there and
sit there and go, wait a minute, you're charging a guy $45 a month. He's not even using any gas. What are you doing? You know, type of thing. Or Commonwealth Edison electricity, same thing. Those prices go right back up, right? Well, now it's an electrical delivery charge. So, what does it buy you? I mean, the last thing you want to do.
I think it buys you. I always like to think it buys you access.
Well, here's my first
problem.
My first example of this, and is Jay-Z. I was young once too, and very naive. I mean, in a lot of ways, you never stop being naive.
I still am.
we go to Vegas. My buddy JD and I. I went with my buddy Doc a couple times. So we go to Vegas. This is way back, you know, when Johnny Carson was with all these guys. So we go to a show at the Stardust. I don't know if it was Alito or what it was. So I heard you're supposed to duke the Mater D's, right? So we walk in, and $20 is a real number back in those days. We're talking about 1978.
Yeah. That's $100 now.
So I give the guy $20.
Mm-hmm.
In we go, and we get like a seat. It wasn't in the back row, but it was like the second in the back row. And of course, JD, being the soul that he is, goes, gee, that 20 went pretty far. He goes, how bad could it have been if he didn't give it? And I'm sitting there going, you don't know if to tell me it was my 20 and not it. So, of course, the next night, everybody learns. I walk in, and we're like one of the first ones there, being the dunderheads that we are. So I give the guy the 20, and I hold it back, and I said, we want to sit up close.
Mm-hmm.
The guy goes, okay. And we went and sat up close. So, I mean, just sending somebody a check, I don't know if that helps you at all. You've got to have your people to show up. You've got to be face-to-face and say, look, this bill that's coming through here, it's gonna kill our industry for no reason. Here's who's on the other side. He's a bleep. And by the way, you know, we don't want, you know, it's going to cost this, it's going to cost that. By the way, here's the $2,000 that I can give you as an individual. You know, to just send them a check in the mail, what good does that do?
Nothing. No, you make sure that's why you go to the bundler dinner.
Yeah.
So they know you. So, you know, here, I pay the $2,000 and my name's Russell and I wear. So when a guy that looks kind of like me wearing different colored glasses and a cardigan shows up at your office, I'd like you to talk to me.
So guess he gives me his card. Guess what the card was?
What?
You might say, if you were naive, it might be Joe Schmo, Republican chairman of something committee, Illinois Senate.
Uh-huh.
It doesn't.
What's it say?
Those are all part-time.
Fundraiser?
those are all part-time jobs.
Yeah.
Gave me the card for his law firm.
Uh-huh.
By the way, come see us sometime with some law business and we'll talk.
Oh, yeah.
You know, basically, that's what the card says, right? I like it.
Man, this state is a mess.
Can
we fix it in 6 minutes?
You know what? I'll tell you what, first thing you do, mm-hmm. no more part-time jobs.
Nope.
It's
either your... Well, you know, do you know how they do it in Texas?
Well, I don't know, but you got to pay more to make it a full-time job.
It's not a full-time job in Texas. But their legislature is only in session for like a week or two. It's really part time,
right?
And they're not there, you know, year round doing stuff.
But
they show up, they do they have a very set, compact agenda. They get it all done. They go back to their regular lives for 50 weeks.
But I mean, like the guy who was the head of Board of Tax Appeals here, mm-hmm. his real job was a lobbyist in Springfield. I mean Eddie Burke, Eddie Burke. We go into, but Rodoliak, because he's older, he made all his money. Doing workman's comp cases against the city when he was a powerful alderman.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah. But I'm saying that this is what part-time means.
I know. I know. Part-time's different here than it is there.
But everybody here is part-time.
Because you don't yield year-round power like you do here.
Well, but I could see... I don't know what you do at the state legislature, but how is that not somewhat of a full-time job to where you can't be an attorney doing state work, or you got to split this up somehow.
You got to separate it out somehow.
But now, can you go be a golf pro at the same time? Yeah, I guess.
It's that they're a much more hands-off type government. That's the problem. Is everything that
but
you
somebody's
do in the
doing?
State, well, everything that you do in the state of Illinois there's a government component.
Right, but
to
I'm going to push back on this though.
Uh huh.
If they're not doing it, who's writing the bills? I mean, who's writing the bill that
they do? They just don't change the laws all the time.
Okay, but I'm saying somewhere. If there's a bill for a new Cowboy Stadium,
uh-huh.
and there's money coming in there, somebody's fingers and thumbs and toes and whatever appendage they may have is all over that bill because, you know, Russell's granddaughter is going to get the business for the circuit boards in the place, and somebody else can do something else. There's going to be a million favored people in there. You can't tell me that.
See, now this is where me being naive comes into play, but. I don't think it's as bad in other states as it is.
It probably isn't, but
and
the fact
is, I don't think that every I don't think every component of it is being given out to favored people.
I would agree with that. Here, the bill might be 500 pages. There, it's going to be 300. It's not going to be zero.
Could you imagine if Chicago had gotten the Summer Olympics?
Oh.
I hadn't thought about that part of it, but oh my God, could you imagine?
We got a couple minutes. I'll tell you, we got 1 minute quick story. We were at a dinner with one of the most spectacular, we'll talk about this next week, most spectacular ladies I've ever met. She was a marketing lady, raised 10 kids on her own. She married a guy with like 7 kids, booted the guy out, and she raised all the kids. Put them all through college.
Uh-huh.
She was a lady who did a GE Brings Good Things to Light. That was hers.
Wow.
How do you spell Kraft? K-R-A-F-T. That was hers.
I like it. She didn't come up with SIBO with capital C and a little B-O-E, right?
No, but she came up with, there was a third one, I'll think about it, but we're kind of on the gun here time-wise. It was, reach out and touch someone. Illinois Bell.
Ooh, I like that one.
Yeah.
It's
those three.
Always been my favorite.
Same person.
Yeah.
And anyway, her daughter was a manager at, let's say, a hotel over by McCormick Place, and said, you know, if we'd have gotten this thing for 4 years, every deal would have been made in our hotel bar. We'd have been the epicenter of this thing, drinking our drinks, eating our shrimp cocktails. And our place at 450 a night, which is the max, would have been full for 4 years before the thing even started. So don't think this wouldn't have helped a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, you and I, if we'd had hot dogs...
Oh, there, it would have helped a lot. It would have helped a lot of people.
No, I'm saying a lot of specific people. You and I would have made the place miserable for 8 weeks.
Yeah.
Anyway, S&P futures down 3.25. NASDAQ futures down 10. Thank you, Russell. Good stuff. Thank you, Jay-Z. And we'll wait for the Fed. We'll be listening intently and talk about it tomorrow morning.
What did we learn, Palmer?
I don't know, sir.
I don't know either. I guess we learned not to do it again.
Stocks and Jocks is brought to you by PTI Securities and Futures. Go to PTIsecurities.com. PTI Pro Direct. Trade for as low as a penny per share and a dollar per option contract. Learn more at PTIProDirect.com. Nadex. Offering an intuitive way to trade the financial markets. Visit Nadex.com. Home Source Realty. Call Audrey Johnson at 708-349-3456. Hamzy Analytics. Listen to Fari Hamzy every other Thursday and visit HamzyAnalytics.com. ChiroMed. Back or neck pain? Schedule a complimentary consultation by calling 708-403-2727. DAX Research. Tune in for David Andelman's technical analysis on Mondays and Thursdays and call 1-800-821-4968.